Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Well, first up this morning is singer-songwriter Thomas Walsh. He is, of course, the frontman of Pugwash, who've released 7 albums to date. He's also released 2 albums with Neil Hannon in their band, the Duckworth Lewis Method. The pair, of course, shared an Ivor Novello nomination for their creations. Well, recently, Pugwash celebrated the 15th anniversary of one of their biggest albums, Jollity, by releasing it on vinyl. And I'm joined this morning by Thomas. Good morning to you, Thomas.
Good morning, Mock. I'm using the abbreviation.
That's very good, actually, Thomas. Now, listen, I gather you're not normally up this early in the morning.
Well, maybe to relieve myself after a nice sleep. But, you know, honestly, no, this isn't quite rock and roll times. But, you know, these are weird times, aren't they? So it's all good. It's all good for me, really.
How have you been dealing with COVID and very weird times, Thomas, for everyone?
Honestly, Miriam, it's been extremely hard because I've had a lot of health issues the last few years. Boys will get straight to it. Liver issues due to a long life of being overweight. You know, there's lots of stuff with that. But I'm finding out what the actual problem is now. But of course, everything has gone back because of COVID. You know, all the kind of non-essential, even though I could, you know, just pop me clogs tomorrow. You never know. But, you know, hopefully not. And the medical people in this country are incredible. I mean, I'm there. I see it, you know, just by accident, really, because I have to go for my checkups. And it's incredible to see these people do what they do. And they're wonderful. It's incredibly tough. So I never lose that kind of vision of who really is running this country for us at the moment, you know.
Yeah, no, they are incredible, actually. Thomas, Listen, go back. I know this, but you grew up in Drimna, didn't you?
Yes. I was born and bred, born in the house in 1969, lazy even then. Didn't want to make it to the hospital. Midwives, all that kind of stuff. Right around the time of the Troubles kicking off, right around the time of the moon landings, August 69. So my mum was, you know, obviously being entertained for all weird reasons, but then she had me. And I'm a Leo, Drimna, born and bred, and I'm proud of it, you know.
Where did the music talent come from?
Well, my dad had a bit of music in him, and he used to strum the odd guitar, or even pretend to. But I had very, you know, a very musical family, really, because back then music was such a big thing, because if people got together, you know, they didn't have phones, obviously, they didn't have all that stuff. So they got together and they sang and they drank and they smoked and they hung out. And so you just remember, you know, the house being full and singing. So, and you have to respect that, you know, even though, you know, the next door neighbour, Mr. Corcoran, would go into the 25th verse of some song and you'd start to laugh. you know, you have to, you know, your father would give you an eyeball and you wouldn't laugh, and then you'd respect it. And, you know, but it seeped in, obviously. I mean, Dad had a great record collection with, like, you know, Perry Como and the Carpenters and Gilbert O'Sullivan, who was huge back then, obviously. And so, you know, the music just started to seep in. Then my brother started buying music, like Al Stewart and Mike Oldfield and ELO. And when I heard ELO, that was the big change.
And listen, I'm going to play now one of your best-known songs. It's Valentine's Day, of course, Thomas. I love this song, though, because the messages of it, it's nice to be nice, which is, of course, from your band's third album, Jollity. Tell me about this song, how you wrote it, why you wrote it.
Well, I wrote it trying to, you know, like most songs, you don't really have control over how they come out and when they come out. But I remember just kind of wanting to write that ploddy beat, you know, kind of a Beatley beat, you know, kind of a song. And it came very quickly, and the lyrics are very simple, and I decided not to elaborate too much on the lyrics, because a lot of times when you do that, you know, you can lose the essence of a song. So, you know, my mother, you know, yeah, I'm sure she did say it's nice to be nice, because I remember a few times she did. But, you know, most people do say it. So the reason why I think it resonated with people like Brian Wilson is that the word nice, he's such a fan of the word nice, but wouldn't it be nice? And things like that. So it started to kind of creep out around the world as a song that everybody could latch on to. But I remember just writing it really quickly, and simply and demoing it, and then we kind of did a very big elaborate production, kind of Beach Boys-y on the record with lots of vocals. And
it's such a great song, and of course that's Brian Wilson of Beach Boys fame. And yeah, just before we play it, I mean, Jürgen Klopp loved it too, didn't he?
He did. He did. That was incredible. And that was when I was in Drogheda Hospital, actually, with some gallbladder issues. Very rock and roll, Miriam. And you know, he, a great friend of mine, is a big fan in Germany, and he's a really big sports TV presenter, a guy named Arn Ziegler. And he's a great friend of Jürgen's and a great friend of mine and a fan. So he just kind of saw I was in the hospital, and he went, Liverpool just won the title, you know, so let's see what I can do. And I came back from the toilets in the hospital, and I had a message, and it was Jürgen sending me a video message, and I've kind of lost it a bit, you know, I feel tears start to flow.
Oh, he just loved it, because he loves the message too. It's nice to be nice.
Yeah, he said it was kind of a message that he could definitely, you know, hold on to, because he admits to not being a huge music person, but he says, I really liked the song, and I really thought that message was something that I'd like to live by, because I'm nice. And he is. He's the nicest guy ever.
Okay, we're going to listen now, Thomas, to your great song, It's Nice to Be Nice.
It's nice to be nice, as my mother once said. It's good to be good, and it's fun to be fun.
I just love that song, Thomas. Listen, and it's a very appropriate one for St. Valentine's Day. And I gather your loved one is Katya, and she's not in Ireland at the moment. Is that right, Thomas?
Yeah, she's in Los Angeles, and she actually travelled back to Russia to see family recently, and it was an incredible journey, really, what she had to do and what she had to go through. But, of course, things are different in America, just for certain travel. And, you know, she really had, because her mother's in her 80s, has had COVID and has recovered. And her sister had COVID as well and recovered, and recently appeared on Russian TV because she's got very high antibodies. So, you know, they're an incredible Russia. I mean, it's amazing how beautiful Russia is as a country, because I've been there now a few times. And the people, it's such an Irish kind of country. It's amazing.
What do you mean by that?
Well, because the people are so similar to us, there's so many similar traditions, with sayings and with family, and with, you know, the countryside is very similar. When you get outside of Moscow and stuff, the countryside is so similar to Ireland. And there's places where people are kind of, you know, say like apartment places, you know, old Michael's estate in Inchicore, where I kind of grew up as a boy, you know, hanging out. Mm. And they're very tough areas, but the people always win out because the people were great. And I remember them areas obviously getting downtrodden and, you know, with drugs coming in, but the people were still incredible. And they tried their best to get rid of the bad. You know, it's the same with Russia, you know, there's a lot of bad there, but they're trying to get rid of it. So it'll happen, you know, but I just love the country. I love the people. And yeah, Katya is Russian originally, and she works, incredibly talented person. And, you know, she basically does subtitles for movies. And, you know, she's worked with Denzel Washington and all these incredible actors, you know, just doing Russian speak. So, yeah, she's brilliant, and I love her. And I'm lucky, even though it's long distance.
Yeah, definitely, Thomas. Are you writing songs during lockdown? Have you found it okay for your creativity or not?
Not. I have to say, because in a way I like to get out of my comfort zone to write songs. Mm. And being self-isolating is very tough. So, of course, you know, at some stage during the year, I had to buy a new telly because my old one was going green. And for some reason, it was losing all its colour. And and so I got a new telly in town here. And, of course, I said, OK, I better get Netflix because I'm going to be in for a while. So I got Netflix. And, you know, oh, God, I might as well get Discovery Plus. Oh, it's free. Oh, great. And of course, you end up just watching and absorbing the world from your couch. And the guitar needs a lot more love and attention. And when your mind is taken other places, it's tough. But I have written the guts of the next record anyway. And I just need to hone it and get the demos done and have it ready to go. Because the fans have been amazing. They put some money up already for me to record it. And it's just sitting there waiting to be used.
It's funny, Thomas, because I haven't interviewed you for a few years. I interviewed you with Neil Hannon the last time. You're great as a duo. But everyone I spoke to before I was interviewing today kept saying, what a brilliant songwriter you are. And they also feel, in a weird way, that you haven't yet been valued enough as a songwriter. Do you feel that or not?
It's tough to speak about yourself when it comes to music, especially in Ireland, because if you have any opinion, people go, who does he think he is? But, you know, that's typical, you know. I don't care for that. I mean, I do normally speak my mind. I don't think it's gone well with a lot of people, because you do have to play the game in this country, like any country. But I never did play the game, you know. I never did go to the nightclubs and hang out with the right people and stuff. You know, I hung out with the great people. George Bourne, for example, people like that, you know, who always had their own opinion but made such an impact, you know, and in what he did. And I love that, you know, because we need it. You know, we just don't need another set of fawning musicians and songwriters, you know, who hit a remit when it comes to Irish music. Because there shouldn't be a remit, you know. It shouldn't be trad only, and it shouldn't be spacey, nonsensical music only, or it shouldn't be X, Y, and Z. It should be everything. So I really haven't got the fair crack of the whip with certain parts of the musical world in this country. But, you know, I do understand as well that I haven't had the image. You know, being morbidly obese for most of my life, you know, just doesn't help in the music business, you know. It really doesn't. And that's honest as well.
Yeah.
But you know, that's a battle I have to deal with every day, you know. So people don't need to remind me. You know, I'll always love when people remind people who are overweight that they're overweight. As if we don't know. Oh, yeah, that's right. I woke up this morning and I felt a bit of, hold on, what's that? Oh, that's a bit of fat there. So, you know, I've had that, you know, and it's not like a pity me thing. It's just, okay, get on with it. But to be honest with you, I just want to make music, and having the opportunity to is the dream every time. So when I meet people like, you know, Jeff Lynne or Ray Davies or Brian Wilson or, you know, Michael Penn, Andy Partridge of XTC, all these incredible people that I have met, by the way, lots of clanging name dropping there, Miriam.
No, but they're people you admired for years as well, Thomas. You loved them,
yeah. Yeah, I was in the ELO fan club when I was 9 and, you know, I still have my membership card and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Kinks and people like that. They change your life. And then when you do get to meet them, and they're just kind of normal people like everybody else, but you kind of get this warm feeling, okay, I must be doing something right because they like my music, you know.
Everyone loves your music, Thomas. Look, as I said, Jollity, it's now available to buy on vinyl online from sugarbushrecords.com. And we're going to go out, Thomas, listening to your great song here on this same Valentine's Day. And thanks so much for talking to me this morning, Thomas.
Miriam, it's so great to hear me, and keep up the brilliant work, because we need you in this country. We need you to keep doing what you do best. And thanks to Tara, by the way. She's brilliant, helped me out with the interview. And here is great to hear on radio. Because it doesn't really get a play very often, but I'm very proud of it.
Well, it's beautiful. Thanks so much, Thomas. Mind yourself.
Thanks, Miriam. Same to you.
Near, I wish.
hear another of Thomas Walsh's beautiful songs along with It's Nice to Be Nice, which we played earlier. It's just some reaction there. Beautiful song. Beatles come to mind, says Mick Andrahada. Another Rachel says, hi Miriam, it's great to hear Thomas's lovely gentle voice in your programme today. We've always loved Pugwash. I sing It's Nice to Be Nice to my daughters all the time, much to their mortification, and the Duckworth Lewis method music always brings joy. Thank you for the beautiful sounds, Thomas. Kind and best regards. And one more I'll bring you from Aidan, says Miriam, I love, love, love Pugwash.